All right, we are back. The Two Dads Review. The Game of Thrones section is over. We are ready to start with American Horror Story, Season 7, Episode 1. We have been waiting patiently for, it feels like forever since we talked last time, Corey.
Yeah, it's been a little while. And I wish I was, I'm just so already caught up on all the crying in the show.
Hey, are we gonna? Is every single one of our reviews gonna be you and me shitting on whatever show we really want to watch?
No. I mean, I think it was a really good episode. It was. Sarah can just play such better characters. I don't understand why I think it's the American Horror Story writers. Like, I don't get why they always make her so whiny.
Just like, cry and whine. Cry and whine so well.
Yeah, and it's like, and she always plays one of the strongest characters. She has to go through like
the most worst shit ever.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I'm like, well, when are you gonna make her not overly insane? Like, they make her almost like too hysterical of a girl, you know? Like, just. And I understand that she's supposed to have mental issues in this show, and that's what it's all about, but I feel like...
Why does she have to
why does it have to be her?
Why can't she wear the clown mask?
Well, not even the clown mask. Like, I just think they could make her... I want to see her play, like, a strong, just bona fide badass of a woman.
Because
I think she's a really good actress.
Agreed.
And I just want to hear... I want her to get, like, a... Charlize Theron, Mad Max kind of vibe going on, like where she just doesn't know how to cry.
American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Apocalypse.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Well, here, before we get into it, let's go over the normal stuff. Everybody who is joining us for the first time, welcome to the show. We are just two dads who take the few hours our kids are asleep to talk to you about the shows or movies or video games, depending on the time of year and what's coming out. We like to talk about it. We like to shit on it a lot. We like to love it a lot. We're kind of at both ends of the spectrum. You can find us at twodadsreview.com. You can listen to the podcast there directly at the Audio Boom site. You can also find us at iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and TuneIn, which all links to those areas are on the twodadsreview.com website. If you are more of a fan of pulling up YouTube and just throwing up some audio, we put our podcast up there on the Two Dads Review channel there as well. And we want to thank everybody who's been with us since our inception almost 2 months ago since we started. So we want to thank all the old listeners too, as well as the new ones who have just found us. And without further ado, share. The only reason the community ever grows every week is because you guys share it with your friends. So, if you like the show, share it with your friends. If you hate the show, share it with your enemies. I don't, just share it. So without further ado, let's get started. This season of American Horror Story is called Cult, and episode 1 is titled Election Night. And this is one of those situations, Corey, I think, where it's is it too soon to already be on this? I mean, how much of this show was written before November, before Election Day in real life? Like, are you kidding? Like, did they even have the show written yet?
I don't know. I mean, but they stated from the very get-go that this season was going to be extremely political.
Oh, it's so political.
And were they not joking? I mean, they nailed it. Like, and they do a really good job of getting extreme left and extreme right kind of views going on in here. And I mean, because even you had there was the scene where the guy yelled at his wife. He goes, "We needed 10,000 votes, too busy getting grocery shopping," you know. Oh, no. And I was "Yes, hey, cool." Like, there's not just raging lunatics on one side here. Like, there's raging lunatics on both sides of this whole thing. And it was nice to see that them I don't know how to say it. Like, it was so in your face, but subtly woven into the foreground and background.
Well, and it's just a fault of Hollywood in general. And it's not a fault, but Hollywood's in it's California most of the time, and you got a lot of stuff to deal. You know, a lot of the people on that side of the U.S. are going to lean a lot towards more of the liberal side. It's just that's the way the state runs. So you've got they're inundated with it all the time. So sometimes TV shows tend to veer toward that side, just the way they're written because of people who are writing and where they are. So I do see that, you know, it was kind of cool to see them trash the left as much as they trash the right. And I'm sure they had to do that. I'm sure that balance will continue the entire time because it's just there's no way that they can't crap on both sides, really.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, without getting too political, yeah, everybody's everybody's insane.
Say that
no,
anymore.
I'm saying we're gonna get political because of the show. I'm not gonna get over political over here and spout my personal opinions on any of this. Like, I don't care one way or the other because I just want to talk about the show's political vibe.
We're gonna walk that fine line.
Yeah, like there's the fine line. We'll try to walk, but
right. Good luck with that. yeah. All right. So let's go over the first scene, which we're gonna call like the left and right homes is what I'm gonna call this first scene, because you have Kai Anderson, who is the blue dyed hair, crazy in his mom's basement, right wing, total just for Trump or for whatever his election to president represents to him, his people, his group. And then you have the far left house, which is all, you know, and they couldn't have piled in any more of a diverse group sitting around that television. You have the Asian guy who's married to, I'm guessing she was probably Hispanic. I know she may have just been Asian also. You have the lesbian couple with their son, and they have their Hispanic housekeeper who's there and just looking at her. When they do the conceding announcement on the TV and just like, and that's your first Sarah Paulson like ugly cry face. Like,
oh yeah, dude,
that you got.
and she has one of the top 10 ugliest cry faces in TV, man. Like, she does such a good job of crying
hysterically.
Yeah, but it's like, it's meant to be an ugly cry. Like, it's like she doesn't, she can cry without any fear of what people may think. You know what I'm saying? Like
she lets it out.
Yeah. Like she's one of those people I feel like that can just cry on cue like that, you know, and just at any given moment she could whip out that cry and you go, oh my God, what's wrong? What did I do? Are you okay? Can I help you? You know?
Yeah. Did you pick up on some of the things that she was saying as she was like the initial cry? And she was, first of all, I had to write down like, what the fuck is cookie breathing? Like, I was like, what? She's like, you have to practice your cookie breathing. And she's like, I can't do my cookie breathing. And I had to Google it. Cookie breathing. Do you want to know what it is, Corey?
Yeah, no, you can go ahead and explain that for everybody.
All right. Everybody who's listening, cookie breathing is a relaxing trait they use for children usually. And it's the reason they call it cookie breathing is it's when you walk into a house with cookies baking freshly in the oven, and it's that breath you take to smell those cookies.
Ah.
And I was like, that makes complete sense. That makes complete sense. And I'm like, okay, that works. So she's, you know, it's that deep inhale. It's a deep breathing thing to calm her down.
Oh yeah, no, I just literally mentally did it and physically did it as you were talking. I was over here pretending to smell cookies.
Exactly. Right. And she also mentioned Merrick Garland, which I'm not political, so I had to Google his name as well. And he's someone who I believe Obama put up for Supreme Court when one of the Supreme Court justices died, and he's been in limbo for like ever because he hasn't been approved. And now she's freaking out because now that Trump is president, there's not going to be this. This guy's never good. So they're not going to get a liberal judge on the Supreme Court. So she's freaking out. Like, I mean, it's a super ugly cry, political freak out that she's doing. I mean, it's just, it's so perfect. And then you get the angry Asian rage where he's like, and he tells his wife, he's like, shut up, Marilyn. You were too busy on Etsy to go out and vote.
Yeah, dude. Like, he crushed her. That was when I went, okay, they're showing the anger people had for people who didn't vote. You know, like, oh my God, how could you not? Like they mm-hmm. they even brought in that, like, that vibe. Not, and that wasn't even really like a jab at like what side. That was this guy going, you couldn't make enough time to vote, and knowing the type of person you are, because you're obviously with me, we really, really could have used right. that vote. Did you see what happened?
We needed you. Yeah. We needed 10,000 votes, and yours could have been one of them. I mean, he yep. lost it on her. I was like, Jesus, dude.
Yeah, dude, he was borderline, you know, had too much whiskey coming home in the middle of the night getting ready to beat somebody.
Right. And then we have what's her name? I'm sorry, I lost names already. Sarah Paulson's playing the character. Her name is Allie, and her wife's name is Ivy. And as she's comforting her, she does the normal horror trope. She's like, don't worry, because their little boy is afraid. I don't want you to be not married anymore, mommies. And she's like, don't worry, nothing's going to happen to us. I was like, wow, okay, well, we know where this show's going, because you've now just jinxed everybody.
Oh, you think she put on the curse by saying that?
Yeah, nothing's gonna happen to us.
Yeah,
I was like, come on. So, and so then we go to my favorite hashtag of the week that I made up, and that's hashtag Blender Cheese Puffs, because we see Kai losing his mind and chanting USA and humping his television. Then he goes to his kitchen with a blender and some cheese puffs and makes a nice blender mask. And then we see Billy Lord, who is playing a character named Winter, who apparently is Kai's brother, or at least their last names are the same on IMDb, so I'm guessing brother and sister. And I loved her line. I mean, as we're talking about shitting on both sides of the political aisle, when she's like, how could CNN not give us a trigger warning before they announced her succeeding? It's like, you're like, oh, good, trigger warnings. That's great. Yeah, so... I thought that was hilarious. And so then Kai scares her in a stupid jump scare, which I think this show's too good for just random jump scares that don't mean anything, to be honest. But
no, but they're worth it though, because they know they get the audience sucked in so hard that, you know, just doing something dumb like looking in the mirror and then turning the camera as the guy looks away, but the camera stays at the mirror and they're stumping still there, you know, like, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's like, yeah, man, just, I appreciate it. I being the kind of horror guy that I am, like, I love that stuff. And I feel like American Horror Story also puts in the effort for makeup. So they get my respect by not doing everything ridiculously CGI all the time.
Well, yeah, you can't CGI a cheese puff facial.
Well, no, can't. No,
that's amazing.
No, that is very true. And don't anyone ever Google cheese puff facial. I just feel it'll lead you to terrible, terrible places on the internet.
Yeah, and apparently the dark web is really easy to get to on the internet, which is why I love writers and the fact that they don't know it's the dark web. I'm like, no, that's not how that works, but that's okay.
And whatever, like, man.
Reddit is not the dark web.
it's just one of those things you got to accept.
Right.
Well, the
writers know literally nothing about anything technology based.
Yeah, and they even made a 4chan reference in there as well.
Oh yeah, that's coming up here real soon. Yep. Yeah. Yep. I was like, you guys are just. Can we throw any more technology keywords in here that just because it's what the media has been saying for months and months? Yeah, I got it. Right, so moving on to scene number two, we get a throwback scene almost, and I'm trying to decide what's real and what's right now. My biggest issue with this, not issue, my biggest like question in my head from this episode and this season so far is just what is real and what we're seeing is actually happening and what isn't. So this one is supposedly a comic book story. It's just being, you know, it's being played out by everybody in real life. So this scene is where I'm going to call it Wrong Number, and it's the same, it's Twisty the Clown, and it's the two teenagers or, you know, 20-somethings, like, making out in the same spot literally from Freak Show, that scene in Freak Show a couple seasons ago.
Yeah, but I think, well, that's like such a, what do they call those,
I'm lost.
Like folklore, like that's such a like a story. So like that comic could be based off of
what really happened 50 years ago.
Yeah, and just like the story in general, you know. So like he's reading it, and then they're doing that whole act out the comic scene, and then, you know, pan out, and then he's reading a book, and you're right. Like, oh, it's the kid's imagination. But I think in this case, that story is actually based off a factual event. So what we saw did really happen. It's not the kid's imagination, even though he was reading a comic dreaming up that event as well.
Right. And I liked how his bus was super old and grown over from, like, you know, so it was 50 years later because the bus was all grown over, and he definitely wasn't. In fact, she thought she was hiding from him, which was great. And he actually, it's his bus from back in Freak Show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And see, I took it the other way. This was before Freak Show.
No, he said 50 years ago. Those kids were like modern day kids. They may have been, you know, I think that was modern day. It wasn't set in the past. It wasn't like, because I believe the scene from Freak Show, they were like in like bopper gear. Like he was in like a leather jacket and she was in like a poodle skirt. Like it was that kind of scene from Freak Show.
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying, well, okay. I see where you're going. See, I didn't really pay attention to the clothes. I just saw the bus and I was like, oh man, the bus. This is like before he's like, I took it as this was the bus before he turned it into his little torture shack.
Oh yeah, no, that's cool. You're wrong. That's fine.
Yeah, no, okay, got it. All right. Chugging right along. Sweet.
So we get the great kill, and we get him grabbing the girl, and then him I loved, even in Freak Show, I loved him taking that mask off and like whatever CGI magic they use for his face. Because I know the actor. Like he's in every, if you go look the actor up, you know him from like a whole bunch of shows. John Carroll Lynch, he's been in everything. So like his whole lower jaw thing is all CGI. I love that CGI effect they do on him.
Oh yeah, the way they make him sound. I don't know what they got in his mouth, like pinning his tongue down or something, or if that's just they're like, hey, talk, man. We know how to make you sound utterly terrifying and gross, but they do a really good job of it.
Right, and also, okay, so I counted this, and I have the count at the end of the episode. They said fuck four times on it. Was, are we cool? Like, after 10 o'clock, is it a no holes barred on TV these days? Cause
they dropped the F-bomb in the show?
Four times, not edited. I was watching it live, and I was like, So we're here now. Okay. I understand.
Or was that just one of the, like, American Horror Story, knowing we got enough budget to back up whatever fines the FCC gives us, right, but this is how we stick it to, you know, the man?
I did a little bit of searching before we started recording, and they did it in the O.J. Simpson show that FX did a few months ago as well, the People versus O.J. Simpson. They dropped the F-bomb a bunch, so I was like, I guess maybe 10 o'clock is the new 9 o'clock for like lower level curse words. I was like, wow, because they said it four different times. I remember hearing it once, and I watched it again today, and I was like, no, there is like a bunch today. So I was like, okay, hey, it is what it is. But that was just a side note. Sorry.
No, I mean, I say it so much, I don't even hear it anymore. It's just muted in my brain. I understand. Got what you're talking about.
It's a constant edit. I don't need my kids saying that stuff. Yours are older. They're already bad enough as it is.
Yeah, I think my oldest probably drops more curse words than I do now.
More than likely. Another thing that was done more than once in the episode, almost to the point where it was kind of asinine. Are you familiar with what a dolly zoom is?
Nope.
I'm sounding like a movie expert. I don't know. I just Googled it because I'm like, what's the name of the Jaws zoom? Because it's from the one of the more famous ones from the last, you know, four decades was the zoom. So it's what happens when the camera stays stationary on the person, but they move the camera. How do they do it? They zoom out while moving the camera forward, so it makes the background pull back, but the person stays the same in frame. And it's what they did when she saw the clown magazine. That's a dolly zoom. So your perspective of her stays the same. It was first used majorly back in Hitchcock's Vertigo. It was to show. It was to show the whole like. It's to show the. You know. It was to show his. You know, discombobulation from the heights and the stuff like that in that movie. And most of the time, it's usually. Are you laughing because I use the word discombobulation?
I am, man.
That's okay.
No. It is. That's a beautiful use of the word. I just wasn't ready for discombobulation to be ever uttered.
I didn't want to use it, but I went to it. Sorry.
No. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
So it's usually meant to show like the walls are caving in, or like it's to disorient you, or it's to show the characters disorient. Well, apparently we're gonna get it every time she sees a clown. I'm like, okay, like I get it the first time. It's to really set like. She's afraid of clowns. Let me show you that she's afraid of clowns. And now, but we got it three different times this episode. And I was like, okay, guys, like really like three dolly zooms all like you're just wearing it into the ground. But that was just a little side note because I have it marked on each of the scenes. Anyways. So don't you think that's good though? I mean, if it's good, unless when we start getting more and more clowns, like you don't have to tell us, we know she's afraid of clowns. So you don't have to tell me with a camera trick every time. We know truthfully, like you were saying earlier, Sarah Paulson doesn't need camera tricks to display the fear that she is feeling.
Yeah, but I think this is to, like you said, like to show the discombobulation of
nice. All night keyword Pee Wee's Playhouse, like the word of the day, man.
But I think that's the only. It's one of the only ways you can get a visual representation because like. How annoyed you already are with it is like that's I think that's kind of the point. Like, possibly. Hey, dude, hey, by the way, like, this is just a pretend thing we're trying to make up of what someone goes through when they experience their worst thing ever in their life. And you know,
but the whole show is clowns,
and you know, me and clowns, and you and one episode in of a camera going in and out, you're already like, I can't do it, man, I can't do it. Like that's their life, you know. Like I mean, you know, because this show tries to hit on real things, like that's that person's life; they can never get away from it.
Mm-hmm. True, very true. So,
you're stuck with it.
I know, dolly zooms the whole time. It's cool because it's a really cool trick. Like it's a really neat. Hollywood trick that I enjoy watching. I'm like, wow, I've seen it three times this one 68 minute episode. So she has her freak out to the magazine. We know, you know, that there's something that clowns affect her. Okay. So next scene we move to it's like a city council meeting, I'm guessing, some sort of city council that you run for, you're elected for. They're voting on overtime for the sheriff's department to stand guard at the Jewish community center, and they don't give us any more information, which I thought was kind of cool. And it's kind of like one of those things that we're gonna have to watch for, like, was this important or not? Why is what's going on in their one town, like in their town that they're in what state were they in? Minnesota? Anyways, but they, you know, why is this Jewish community center being focused on?
Oh, they're in, you know, they were in Michigan.
Michigan? Okay. Michigan. Like, why is, you know, why is this happening in their town? So I'm hoping that like comes up and it wasn't just like some random event. But Kai stands up and gives his speech on fear mongering about, you know, we need to let everybody feeds on fear. We handicap our kids because of fear. We don't let them do things that give them freedom. You know, it's a fear over freedom speech that you hear. You know, yay politics, here we go.
Like, yeah.
he's like, let him blow it up. So apparently, I'm guessing there's been bomb threats to this Jewish community center. I don't know, but it was just kind of specific in that whole scene, like about this one community center. So I don't know, maybe they'll bring something up about it. And then you get angry Asian coming at them with the 4chan reference about, you know, now that you've pulled yourself out of your mom's basement. You know, and meet some people that think other things than you do.
Yeah, I mean, and that was like a pretty good call out right there of how, like, you know, like, I know he was being a dick, but yeah, meet other people that are outside of your point of view, which was funny that he was the guy calling him out because you can tell that his point of view is very narrowed as well.
Right.
Right.
Talking both sides of politics.
Yeah.
One side. Yeah. Because you have, especially these days right now, let's just get political for like 30 seconds. You have people who protest and people, the anti-protesters, and you have, you know, it's a lot of things these days are, it freedom of speech if I agree with what you're saying. But if I'm not, if I don't agree with what you're saying, then you shouldn't be allowed to talk.
Yeah,
that's what's happening a lot, and it's not, and it's never going to be good.
Yeah, if you're not on my point of view, then you're wrong.
Right, I don't want to hear you, but that's literally you're here protesting you to have freedom of speech, but you want to make sure everyone else who doesn't agree with you isn't able to talk. Like you don't, and if you watch the stuff on the news, they don't ever see that point. Like if you tell them that, their eyes just glaze over and they don't understand what you just said to them. It's great. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then but so with angry Asian guys verbal beat down of Kai, he walks off and his last thing is, you know, nothing's more dangerous in this world than a humiliated man. And that's a creepy line. That right there, you're like, if I was him, because like I would have been like, ooh, like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Was it the 4chan or the basement reference? Like, I'll apologize for both.
Yeah, where did I go wrong? My fault.
Are you going to kill? Are you going to? Oh, oops.
Yeah, because I like how, because he mumbled it, and then I like how he's like, what did he say? What did you say? And then he just like, okay.
I, yeah. I'm not sure what the charge is for verbally threatening I don't know, because then was it a threat? You know, there's a cop in the room. We saw there's like a sheriff in the room. It's a council meeting. It's like, should he like detain him and be like, that was a, you know, I don't know. Who knows? I have no clue. But that was definitely a line that like set up the rest of how this season is going to go.
Yeah. I don't think that could be considered a threat. That's just, you know, like,
true.
That's just old proverb. You know, like anybody could say that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. All right. So we'll move on to the next scene. She, I have to get everybody's, I don't know everybody's name yet. I keep looking at IMDb. Allie is in her therapist's office. And we learn in the therapist's office that she has colorophobia, which is the fear of clowns. Write that down. That's what you have, sir. You have colorophobia. And
not nearly to the degree she has.
Wait, you don't dolly zoom every time you see a clown?
No. I have more of a fight response instead of a flight response.
I am punching the clown and not in that way.
Yeah,
right. That's So we learn that she's got. We learn that she has this phobia. We also learned that they're Spanish. They're Latin. Spanish, Mexican, somebody, housekeeper, she's gone. Like, she is, they're like, she doesn't know if she got picked up by whatever, you know, Trump's, you know, roundup squads are, if she's just in hiding, if she's illegal, if she went back home, who knows? But we know that her housekeeper is gone, the housekeeper that was there in the first scene. She also is continuing to break down. She accuses him of this, the piece of coral that was sitting on the bookshelf. She's like, and that's been looking at me since I walked in here.
Yeah, it's ugly.
So, and it's like the holes in it freak her out, which come into play later. Oh, man. I'm not good with the holes either. Like, that's just creepy to me personally. So she, you know, and I, the therapist, man, like, so there's a whole underlying thing that I want to get into at the end of our conversation. But because it just plays into the way that a lot of the people that the main characters, the main left character, the main left side characters interact with, like the most unhelpful therapist in the entire world.
Oh yeah.
Especially when you know that she has this like debilitating phobia. He's like, I just deleted Twitter and I started working out, and here's some drugs. You know, you don't like them, but you need them and you'll be fine. I'm like, there's no therapist in the world that says anything like that in a thing.
No, but that's what everybody hears, like, that has these mental issues. Like, it's always just, and this is completely speaking from personal experience, it's always, hey man, you just need to get like go to the gym and you'll be better, and maybe if you drink more vitamin C, you know what, I gave up drinking fucking Cokes and I drink green juice all the time now and that shit works for me. And it's like, well, that's good, dude. I'm glad your brain got on board with all that, but you know what, my brain hasn't. My brain still tells me that clowns are fucking terrifying. Right. You know, right. Like, so I think he is supposed to be like the general Facebook therapist. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's what he's like, his vibe is supposed to be.
And his nonchalantness, I think, is going to play into more of what I'll talk about later on as we get going on in the story, because there's a lot more underlying. And I hope that I'm not reading too far into certain things, because we spent our first podcast on Game of Thrones. I'm in the mindset of like reading into every single thing that I see on a show. And I'm like, I'm afraid that I'm going to be hitting and missing a lot of things for American Horror Story, but there is some stuff later on that I want to talk about, because it seems to multiply as we go on in the story. So the next scene that we get to is at the grocery store, and this one, okay. So first you get the guy behind the register who has no hand for some, just oddly no hand. Just, by the way, I don't have a hand. So how are you ringing up stuff, man? Like you gotta be the worst person ever to be running. You're not holding the bag open and putting the thing you've scanned in there. It's not happening. Not with that hand. You know, you have your Make America Great Again hat like under the counter, ready to pull out at a moment's notice.
Oh yeah, like, yeah, man. He slipped that thing on. He's like, I think you are a lesbian. And
I can smell it.
Yeah, put that hat on real quick. did that real good. Like, I'm gonna stare at you and rub my belly button vibe. You know.
Right. And so she starts freaking out in the store. And we get our dolly zoom number two of the episode for when she sees the two clowns doing it in the produce section.
Yeah.
And the best part was, as the PA noise kicks in and it switches off the clowns, did you notice that they switched spots? Like, who was giving and who was taking, like, switch? Did you notice that?
Yes. I rewound it.
I'm like, wow. I was like, you guys are just flipping it right up, aren't you?
You rewound that part, huh?
Oh boy, yeah, that's on.
Uh-huh, yeah. Let's go ahead and talk about your issues.
Yeah. Okay. So I rewound the clouds doing it doggy style. I'll say it out loud. I did. I'm sorry. And then I did enjoy the single pan around the car, and then suddenly the clown's in the back seat with her.
Yeah.
You know, that was great. That was a great little shot. And then she just smashes into the one pole that's right, you know, she parked right in front of the one pole at enough distance away from it that, you know, she was able to hit it to make the airbags go off and just wreck her car completely.
Well, didn't she already put it in reverse a little bit and like roll back and then like look in the mirror, and that's when it like, but we saw it from the front view, right?
Well, yeah, so she, yeah, so I don't know what she...
I mean, I feel like you should turn around when you're backing up and look backwards and definitely not just use your rearview mirror. You would have seen
not these
that.
Days, man.
You...
That was a Prius. There's a backup camera on that bad boy, man.
Well,
no one turns around.
Well, then you know
anymore.
What? You should read that notification right on that Prius that pops up. I guarantee when you put it in reverse, it says, do not only use this device when when backing up the car.
I don't believe everything I read, so I don't have to do that. That's okay.
Oh, okay. Stop signs right. Optional too.
So we get back home. The cops have dropped her off, I guess. You know, and so I'll break into what I want to talk about a little bit. So we don't ever see the security footage. You know, she mentions that the cop is looking into it, and she said all they saw was you throwing rosé and freaking out. So are we meant to believe that this cult is so large and encompassing that, you know, the therapist, the guy behind the register, the clowns that we see, like how much of this are we seeing is she imagining, and how much of it is actually happening? And then this cult is covering it up because it has somebody everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think anything we've seen right now has happened other than like
the very end.
Well, the very end. And, like when he threw the coffee on them on purpose.
Well, yes. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but I don't think anything at this point, this is all her still, her mental walls coming down on the inside. So apparently, like, you know, they kind of hinted on it last time that when she mentally breaks down. She just starts seeing clowns everywhere. And then if she happens to see one, like in the comic, it pretty much just puts everything on like level 9,000 for days.
Right. Well, my theory is the other one, is that this cult is so, when we finally meet whatever cult we're talking about, it is so ingrained in society and it has people everywhere that they're just covering. And then my question is, why are they targeting her? Why is she the one they're targeting out of anybody? And I also don't, yeah. So it's just, I'm trying to figure out how much I'm supposed to believe is real or not. And I don't know yet. I don't know if Twisty's in this universe or if it was just them telling the comic book with actual actors and then doing the whole, you know, pull out, oh, it's a comic book. Okay, cool. It's definitely, definitely interesting.
Yeah, no, it's, I don't even know what to think.
I want it all to be real.
You know, like, I gotta just keep going, because I don't even know what to think, because everything seems fake. Like, right now, like, everything seems so absurd that, unless, and if they do that damn American Horror Story thing they do where they just leave certain things open-ended and they don't ever, like, come back to them, I know the clowns, they'll most likely be answered, but I want to know when, like, if they don't answer me the time frame of when they started, like, you know, being messed with, you know, if he doesn't say, oh, basically from the grocery store, you know, after election, I've had your family picked out. You know, right. Like, okay, so you're telling me it just happened to be, it was happenstance that this person has a fear of clowns, and then there was just happened to be a clown cult in the town?
Exactly. Yeah, so you're right. I don't know what's real yet, and I'd like to find out. So, yeah, so scene 7, we find out, so after the freak out and back home from the clowns in the grocery store, we're at their restaurant. We learn that they have a restaurant together. And we also learn that she has literally not been to their restaurant, the thing that supports their family, like, since election night.
Yeah.
She has not been there.
And what was that? Like, what? And what was the time frame they gave us? The, like, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, something like
it
that?
It was something absurdly like, yeah, a couple weeks, because, yeah, it was a while. So just has just shut herself down for weeks. So, and then her wife goes into, you know, they have not been sexual with each other for a long time. And she goes into detail about that.
Yeah,
and
she's like, I want the person I fell in love with, you know? Right. I was like, hey, man, that's a strong one right there.
Right. And then they also talk about needing to hire the new nanny since they don't have a nanny anymore, which we found out earlier. Which is where Kai and his sister come into play. And in fact, so we know Kai either runs into them for the first time here outside the restaurant where he dumps the soda on them or coffee or whatever it was. I guess it wasn't coffee because they weren't screaming like they were in pain. So soda or whatever. So, you know, I'm interested in seeing why and how he initially targeted them. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But this is where we first see them interact.
Yeah. I hope they explain why this family or group of people was his guinea pig.
Exactly. Yeah, it's this season is going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I like not knowing. I like it not being, you know, right out in front of us.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It definitely got to be confused a little bit.
Right. And so the next scene is what, now here's where I'm not understanding what's going on either, especially with Winter and Kai. Like, so the next scene is a split scene between the girls interviewing Winter and Winter and Kai doing a pinky swear, you have to tell a truth type thing, you know? And so we know that she worked for Hillary's campaign because she was talking about it in the first scene during the election night portion of the episode. Because, you know, she was going, you know, why did she not go to this state? We know she was working for Hillary. So we know she was working on the left side. But then, you know, her stuff with Kai, it's like, are they working together? What kind of control does he have over her?
Well, they're brother and sister.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, they're both very, very, very weird, but they're kind of like, it's one of those things, we've only had each other. Just
yes,
like,
I mean, she doing
just
his...
like, and they're supposed to be twins, I think, just like all crazy twins, you know, we were left alone.
I guess, I do like, and I like Billy Lord. We all know her from Scream Queens, and if you haven't watched Scream Queens, turn this podcast off right now and go watch all Scream Queens there is. Because I think they canceled the show, but it is a fantastic show, and she is amazing in it.
Yeah, there's only two seasons, so you can knock it out.
You can binge it out in
a weekend.
You could actually, and you want to watch it for Chad Radwell. You want to watch it for Chad Radwell.
Yeah,
that's the whole point of watching Scream Queens.
Yeah, you want to watch season one for Chad Radwell, and then you want to hate season two for Chad Radwell.
Right, and if you wonder why Billy Lord has her earmuffs on the whole time, it's because her mother is actually Carrie Fisher, rest in peace. So it's her little tribute to her mom when she was on Scream Queens. She had like the Princess Leia things going on her head. That's pretty cool. Anyways, back to what we're supposed to be talking about in this podcast.
Everyone that listens to us knows that we get sidetracked.
We get sidetracked. It happens all the time. It's like you're literally sitting in our houses with us, just, you know, having a normal conversation like they go down with us. We just go off on a tangent. Sorry, just hang on. did you catch the Louis Anderson commercial? The guy who was long hair and had the axe and was talking about her son being a clown. I was like, do we get, and it's for his new show that's coming out next year, but I'm like, dude, I was like, is this part of the, I was like, is this part of the show?
Oh,
like,
yeah, you couldn't tell if it was a real commercial or if they slipped it in the show or not. Yeah.
Right, what is this? Who's directing this? Like, Robert Rodriguez? What's going on? Like, commercials and stuff? So, yeah, I was just like, that threw me off for a little bit. So then the next scene I've titled Racist Pee Condom Beatdown, and I mean, that pretty much sums the entire scene up. He just comes across a bunch of, you know, day workers and sings La Cucaracha, pisses in a condom, chucks at him, and he gets beat down and someone's recording it. Probably, I'm guessing, who? His sister? Maybe off to the side. We see that someone is recording it.
Yeah, so I would imagine it's her.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll find out it was her. So we see in the trailer for coming up on... You know, coming up on an American Horror Story, we see that he starts running for, I'm guessing, one of those seats. Oh, because what's his name's dead. That makes sense. That just clicked right now. Because at the end of the episode, Asian guy dies, so there's a seat on that council open, and he's running for that seat. I'm guessing that's what he's doing.
There you go.
Yep. So,
that makes sense.
Exactly. So to round out, the last few scenes of the episode, we have the next scene after the beatdown. We have it's a split between the girls at the restaurant and Winter is the new nanny with the boy whose name is Oz, which is, you know, sweet name. That's awesome. So the girls are having like a romance. You know, her wife, who's the cook, is cooking her a little bit of little nice stuff, getting her a little alcohol, trying to get her, you know, in the mood. And we cut back to Winter and Oz, and she's asking, like, which one is your real mommy? Do you know who your daddy is? Like, she's asking all these questions, just like, you know, and she sees the kids drawing Twisty, so he's already screwed. He's drawing Twisty killing somebody from earlier.
She's like, what's this? You got my attention.
Right, and she's like, you ever seen a real dead body? And we're like, oh, this is going weird. And so we cut back to the restaurant, and Allie is looking at her phone, looking at the president's tweets, and she does what I do like every other day. I'm like, could you just stop tweeting? Just stop. Because I'll admit it. You can go to my Twitter, R. Clay Street. I am following the president because that shit is better than watching TV. Watching like trash TV is just watching that man tweet. It is the greatest stuff ever. And it's I'm amazed that the leader of the free world is tweeting the shit that he tweets. And it's like, I can't put this down. I gotta watch this. It's amazing to me.
Well, that's essentially what he wants, man. He wants all eyes on him. The only problem is like,
all eyes are on him.
Well, yeah, all eyes are on him, and he's got the keys to getting rid of the whole damn country.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that may happen. I believe we're going to see. Anyways, we're not getting this. We're not getting there. I'm not going there. We're not going there.
Yeah, right. Keep going.
Back to this show.
It's going to be so hard.
So bad. So she has another hallucination. She sees cut off fingers and like bloody holes coming out of the souffle, like onto the dish that her wife put in front of her. And we get our dolly zoom number three of the episode. And she starts freaking out. And then she, and then we cut back to, this is the dark web, and she's showing the kid like a bunch of people getting murdered, and she, and it's like what, like what, like, so I'm just.
But tell me that she doesn't do it in such like a funny way that you're just kind of chuckling, right?
is the dark web.
Yeah, like she does it in such a funny nonchalant way that you're just kind of like, yeah,
sure it is. I mean, all right, you can call it. Yeah. I know
he's like 6 year old.
Right, it's like, is the site called darkweb.com? Is that why you're calling it the dark web? Because that's not the dark web. and then we cut back to the restaurant, and she's hallucinating Wanky the Clown. That's what I'm calling him. That's his name for the rest of the series for me. And he's beating it off in the corner. And then, you know, she just starts just losing her mind. She's freaking out, and her wife comes out, and she's trying to calm her down. And we find out she's not taking her medicine that you know, her therapist prescribed her. And then we're back to the house with Winter and Oz, and she's telling them that watching these people get killed on the internet is like brain vaccination. Like, it hurts at first, but then after a while it gets better. Like, watching that kind of stuff, it's like, oh God, what are we doing to this kid? Like, this kid is getting screwed up. This first episode, that kid has been through a lot of trauma. Oh, watched, yeah, a lot of stuff go down.
Well, I mean that's what kids left alone on the internet does, man. Like, you get ruined.
Or not alone, or being pointed there by a babysitter.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's the fact that you are not watching your children, you know?
Right.
Like, you can't rely on someone else to do it.
Right. Yeah, well, true. Very true. And then he sees the ice cream truck pull up and all the clowns from the... So here's where, are these clowns real or not? Because of course they're real, because the people killed, and there's no way it's a murder-suicide with someone's throat cut. Like, there's no way, unless they're considering the wife being the one who did the murdering. And then, because when they finally pull up at the end of the episode, the cop states that it's a murder-suicide. It looks like a murder-suicide. So I'm guessing we're supposed to, you know, if that cop isn't in on it, we're supposed to assume that, like, the way they killed the wife would be something that would be simply done as a suicide, because he got his throat cut and stabbed a whole bunch of times.
Yeah, well,
so he wasn't the one doing the murdering. He was the one being murdered.
Yeah, and I think it's that was really happening, and this is where you kind of see how far. See, I think everything that happens to the mom is fake. It's in her head. Everything that the boy sees and everything that goes on with him is going to be real.
Okay, so how are the clowns the same? Those are the exact same clowns from the supermarket.
I think they're just using clowns as clowns.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's okay. And I know that's one side, and I'm believing that it's all real, and the cult is so deeply into the society, or at least in this town, that the cop who's like blows them off, oh, it looks like a murder suicide, he's part of the cult. You know, the clowns, all the stuff, the guy at the supermarket with one hand, he's part of the cult. Everybody, and it's all a cover-up thing. So just literally, and their whole point in life is just to freak this couple out and the folks around them. So I don't know. We'll see.
That may be it. I mean, maybe it is. I was getting ready to say that I think everything with the boy that involves his sister is real, and that's where you get to see how far the cult is. And I think all the stuff right now – is in her head, but you're getting ready to see that line's going to be
real blurred.
It's going to be broken in real life. Like, we're going to know it, but she's not going to know it yet. And then all of a sudden, because she doesn't know it, we're not going to understand what's happening. Like, and then that's when we're going to be like, well, was that a real clown or was that a fake clown? And then that might also answer why, the clowns are the same.
Possibly. Possibly. So overall, and then I guess the final scene, just the last little quick thing. We get the sweeping shot through the master bedroom to where she's sleeping, and then she hears a rustle, and she's like, Ivy, did you hear that? And turns over, we get a great jump scare with you know, three-faced dildo nose clown in her bed with her. So, you know, we know that's a hallucination because we literally see in the trailer and, you know, 30 seconds later that she's still alive and not like murdered or anything. So she's fine.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's a jump scare to finish the episode off. I don't think it needed it really. I think there's enough ground lay. You had to jump scare me at the very end. Like I knew it was coming. Like it's a classic horror trope. And like, I don't need classic horror tropes. I need you guys to freak me out in freaky ways, you know.
This is 2017 and Donald Trump's president, man. I want new scary ways.
Right. I need the guy in the full leather outfit in a brightly lit room, not like in the dark, like from the very first season of American Horror Story when they had the guy in the full leather.
Well,
they just showed him in a room white with the light on him. I was just like, that's freaky. Like I don't. Then
we'd need that demon dildo tornado dick thing if from American Horror Story Hotel if we really want to see something freaky, because that he almost ruined Schmidt for me on The New Girl.
I know of that scene, but just to inform everybody, I am behind on American Horror Story. I am still in Freak Show. But I wanted to make sure we made this for this season. So I still have to catch up on Freak Show and Hotel and Roanoke. Just so everybody knows, I have not caught up on those. But I do know the Schmidt scene, and I'm slightly anticipating watching it. I have not seen it yet. I probably should go watch it sometime soon.
Well, you got to
maybe after New Girl's canceled or after they kill New Girl.
I was going to say, don't watch it while New Girl's still on, for one. And two, like do it from the episode, not from like a YouTube clip of it, because like the episode really like sets
it all up.
Yeah, like you're just like, what? No way.
No. I plan on watching. I'm pretty much gonna watch. Like I'm just gonna keep. I just gotta start binging through them. I just haven't done it yet. But I'm excited about it. So that wraps up the episode. So what would you give score of the episode? What do you got?
What are we doing it out of? 10?
10, or do you want to do grades?
We can do grades. We can do grades, and what would we do? A, B, C, because anything past a C, I feel like you're on your own. That's up to you if you like it or not.
Right. What would you give this episode?
I'd give this episode probably a B minus. And mostly just because of Sarah crying. it really bothered me that bad. I think it bothered me that bad because I know it's going to be a lot. It's just like you and the camera. And again, I have to like put, and I like it that they make me put my brain in that person's shoes. Like I have to remember that is literally her brain reacting to what her brain thinks is the most terrifying thing in the world. Like if I knew,
it's a good way to show it.
Yeah, and I mean, and here's what it is. I don't know what the most terrifying thing in the world is for me. Like I could only imagine, like I can imagine some pretty scary stuff, and I don't want to be even remotely near that stuff. And I go, it's like not that scary, but if it was, if it was real, F that. No way, right. And that's how she feels. So like, I gotta give her credit. Like, hey man, you probably got to be able to cry on cue to take that. So, good on you.
Yeah, I'll give it a solid B. While the dolly zooms may have been annoying to me, that is a cool visual, a visual way to experience what she's going through, and I do enjoy that camera trick. So I'll give it a solid B. I think the season's it really set up a lot of stuff real nice for it, and I'm interested to see what's going to happen. I definitely can't wait for next week, and I can't wait to sit down and talk to all y'all about it too, because you know this is a good show to do this on. It's definitely a little lighter when it comes to how deep we have to dig into it than Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is a little exhausting. I mean, look, we're at the 50-ish minute mark. We're not at 140. We're not at an hour 47 minutes. So we're already doing better. And this was a 68 minute episode, man. We had all, there were Game of Thrones episodes that were sure that we talked for a lot longer on. So everybody, a nice, easy 1 hour podcast to listen to. You are welcome.
Well, yeah. And then with the Game of Thrones, it's like 12 years of conspiracy theories, that everyone's like hatching. So, with this one, it's like, all right, it's
how you gonna mess my brain up this week.
Well, yeah, it's like, how you gonna mess my brain up this week, and that season is just that season, you know, like there's nothing else to it.
Except they're all connected. I've seen plenty of times online where they go through a whole how they connect. Every season has a tie. You know, it's all in the same universe, which is really cool. You can get lost on that one trying to tie all
the seasons together. And that's the same thing as like going to like the Disney universe and realizing that, you know, this has been there, that's been there, and stuff like that. So,
yep. So yeah. So we'll wrap this podcast up. Just for everybody, for things down the road, we're going to continue with the American Horror Story season 7, American Horror Story Cult, for the next, you know, for the entire season. Starting at the end of September, when Star Trek Discovery starts up, we'll have an extra long podcast that will cover both episodes that week, the one of American Horror Story and the one of Star Trek. And I will give you a place to jump into if you come for one or the other. So know that Star Trek Discovery is coming down the line. And then after Star Trek Discovery, we may have a little surprise for you guys, a little special episode. There's not many TV shows coming out, so we may go hit a few movies, and we may have a special guest or two. I don't know. There may be something already set up. I'm not going to talk about it yet, though. I just want you guys to know what's coming. It's a little tease. It's like a, you know, it's a cliffhanger.
You basically,
it's a clown in your bed. I just dropped a clown in your bed.
You basically just did hey, I got a new toy. Whoa, that's really cool, man. Can I see it? Nope.
I can't touch it.
Nope.
My toy. Right. It's still in the very early stages, but I have high hopes about the month of December. So stay tuned. Listen in. TwoDadsReview.com. We are there for you. Hit us up on Twitter at TwoDadsReview. Like us, follow us, get our notifications. We tweet enough for two middle thirties. Well, you're middle thirties. I'm late thirties. Sorry, I'm old. It happens. We tweet enough for guys our age. We're entertaining enough. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, man.
So,
we got, all right, well, we can do it. We can throw in some keywords and
I can hashtag the shit out of stuff, man. I'm all over the hashtag market.
Okay, gotta stop.
That's enough. That's it. We quit.
Everyone, thank you for coming and listening to our show. We truly appreciate it. I'm Sloth Bear. I'm saying goodnight. If Clay wants to keep talking, he's on his own from here on out.
I'll talk from now to the hour 47 minute mark, like our last podcast. So, all right, everybody. Thanks for showing up. Hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook, and we'll catch you next week.